They were trying to trap Jesus. These folks who came to Jesus were trying to trap him in a way that no matter how he answered the question, he'd be in trouble. Should we pay taxes? Jesus asks for the denarius. Notice he doesn't have one. I find that interesting. He doesn't have one. Show us this coin. And he says to those gathered, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. He turns the question around, because they were wanting him to say, yes, you do need to pay these taxes to Caesar, and the Jewish community would really be alienated from Jesus. If he said, you don't pay the taxes, then the Romans would have arrested him. That's what they were trying to do. But Jesus answers with a verse that even folks who aren't familiar with Scripture tend to know that verse. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Jesus is talking here about taxes. He's talking about money. And oftentimes we say to ourselves, well, there's a topic that Jesus doesn't really talk about that much. But I want to present you with some interesting facts. When we read Jesus, what do we mostly hear Jesus talk about? Love. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love those. Love. It's said that in the verses pertaining to Jesus, love is talked about 500 times. 500 times. Jesus talks about faith less than 500 times. But Jesus talks about money and possessions 800 times. As a matter of fact, it's said there are nearly 2,000 verses pertaining to money and possessions. Is that surprising? I think it is, because when we read it, we're kind of like, when we hear those kinds of Jesus talking about money and possessions, we kind of close our ears, we don't hear it. We don't hear it. A priest I knew years ago, who was a spiritual director of mine, once said, you know, George, I think we read the scriptures as if we have no money. And we then use our money as if we've never heard the scriptures. That makes sense? There's this kind of divide in how we go about doing what we do. And what I'd like to do is invite us to reflect on that a little bit. Reflect on that a little bit. Why is it we don't hear what Jesus is saying? I'm going to do a little exercise with you. We do this with the children. A little show and tell, props, always helps. This is it's a make-believe $100 bill. The reason it's a $100 bill is, I remember Bishop Curry years ago used to say, you know, in the offering plate in Episcopal churches, there's a lot of Washingtons and Lincolns, but not a lot of Benjamin Franklins. You know, so this is a $100 bill. It's the reason I chose it, because I was able to make a copy of it. Like this to represent our kind of family, our own personal kind of household budget. Look at it in a monthly basis, an annual basis, however you want to do that. But let this represent that to us. And suggest to you that many of us may approach it this way, but we look at our annual budget, and there's things that we have to take care of. You know, one of the first things is what? Our mortgage or our rent, where we live. So that's something we have to set aside in our regular budget. There's also things that, you know, there's electric, there's water, there's power, you know, keeping the house cool, keeping the house warm. So those are expenses. Utilities, they come in as well each month. There's our phones, our cell phones. And if you're like me, most of your family's on your cell phone. And that's a regular thing we kind of have to be in touch with each other. We live in a community that very much depends on driving cars. We're not big in public transportation around this area. So particularly our families where there's two folks working outside the home, you need a couple cars to get to work and get home again. And there's gas, there's repairs, especially the repairs. Mary and I, we had a car repaired this past week. Those bills always kind of wham, come at you, don't they? There's gas, there's car payments. Car payments are a big part of our kind of probably our monthly kind of expenses. These aren't any kind of particular order, but food, taking care of ourselves, staying healthy. We spend how much on food each month? There's the care of our home, taking care of things that kind of need attention, whether it's maintenance or different things that happen. So we need to have some of our budget go towards that. Our children are involved in many things, and just raising our children, particularly our younger families with little children. You know, every few months, you just got to buy another whole wardrobe. You know, they grow out of these clothes and need to buy new clothes. So you have a clothing kind of item. And also with children, there's they're involved in sports, they're involved in the arts, they're involved in different organizations, and there's kind of either dues or expenses or driving them back and forth to that. Those are some expenses as well. Then another big one, I think, in our budget is debt, particularly credit card debt. They say the average credit card has about $8,000 on it. So there's debt that we have to pay as a monthly kind of thing, which can take up a big, big part of our budget, you know? Then we get to the end of the month and we're like, whew, thank God I got something left here. Something left, you know? At least that's all taken care of, is something left. You know what? I'm going to give this to St. Paul's. I'm going to make this my financial commitment, either to St. Paul's or to charity or to going beyond ourselves. I'm going to give that away. Not everybody may live their budget like that, but it's pretty common in our world. If we hear Jesus, if we listen to those verses about Jesus, Jesus is talking about something much different. Jesus grew up in the Jewish tradition, which had a tradition of what's called tithing. You may have heard that word, tithing. In other words, the first fruits go to God. The first things that we have are given to God in thanksgiving to God for the blessings which we've received. And so in those cultures, which was very kind of deep in an agricultural society, the first crops were kind of offered to God as a thanksgiving. And Jesus grew from that tradition. He grew out of that custom of giving away the first fruits. So what Jesus talks about is, if we look at this as our monthly or annual budget, there's the tithe. Now, some suggest the tithe is 10%. Whatever it is, it's a commitment that we make. And so if we live what Jesus has taught us, this is my gift to say thank you. Thank you to God, and I'm giving this away. I'm giving this away to make a difference in our world. And then, of course, I still have the mortgage, and I still have the car loans. And you may say, well, I don't know if I can afford two cars. Well, maybe those are decisions you have to figure out in terms of how we purchase things. Then there's food. We have to eat. And maybe, you know, we shape how we eat in different ways. There's the bills. There's all of those things that I just mentioned that we still pay out of our budget. This is kind of the way I think many of us begin the journey. But Jesus is calling us to something different. And the invitation I give to us to think about in our lives this morning is, how do we get from this to this? How do we grow in our understanding of the teachings of Jesus about how we're supposed to share what we have beyond ourselves? You know, some of us think that this is stewardship. This is stewardship. The reality is, this is stewardship. This is stewardship. The way that we spend the rest of what we have and how we utilize it, that's stewardship as well. Stewardship is not a season. Stewardship is something we live every day in the decisions we make about how we use these blessings that God has given us. Today we're focusing a little bit on our ministries here at St. Paul's that are beyond ourselves, our outreach ministries that go beyond. And we're going to show a video in a little while about some of those ministries and see ways that we're being called beyond ourselves. One of the things I'm very proud of here at St. Paul's is our youth. You know, many people today in the church life say that, you know, the church are leaving, the youth are leaving the church. I'm not so sure youth are leaving the church. I think youth are leading the church. I think the millennial generation is calling us to something new, challenging us to something new. to be not just about what we do with each other, but how we make an impact in the world beyond us. How do we do that? And here at St. Paul's, we want to reflect today a little bit on some of those ways that we go about doing that kind of work and making a difference in our world. How do we live from this to this? How can we make a difference in our world? We do a lot of things here at St. Paul's. Our Refuge Your Refugee ministry is an example of an incredible ministry that is about relationships. And if you talk to folks in the Refuge for Refugee ministry, the immigrant families that we've welcomed here are beginning to challenge us in new ways of being. There's things we never even thought of when we began this ministry. And that's the wonder of ministry that's based on relationships. We're changed just as much as the folks that we are joined with are changed. So there's growth going on there. There's still ways that we support people financially. As a matter of fact, just this past week, through gifts that are given to the Rector's Discretionary Fund, I was able to help someone the other day who didn't have enough money for their rent. I was able to help someone the other day pay for their utility bill, that utilities are going to be shut off that day. Able to help folks that find themselves in that situation. We're able to help folks, refugee folks, who we enter into relationship with. Our Appalachian Service Project. Talk to the youth and develop relationships with these people that they know, and their lives are changed. Over this last year, Javier and I have been involved in a group of clergy, over 60 clergy, might be 60 or 70, from the Wake County area, who have gotten together this past year just to begin to build relationships and have some conversations on how we can collaborate together to look at issues and concerns in Wake County, in our community, where we can make a difference and have an impact and change. Collaboration, to me, is the future of church work, collaborating with other folks. And this is collaborating with people from different faith traditions, different areas of Wake County, different size congregations, congregations that are struggling, congregations that are a bit more healthy, all together trying to build relationships and find ways that we can make a difference in our community. And we're at the stage now, after about a year of that and building those relationships, now inviting some parishioners from the different congregations into that work. And we're looking to go forward over the years ahead and find ways that we can impact the life in our area by working with other folks who make decisions that have an impact on things. And so to me, it's another phase of our ministry beyond ourselves, this phase of having funds and money to help someone who finds himself in need of funds, working relationship-wise with folks and getting to know them and finding and discovering ways that we can grow together and learn things together and help one another. But this other phase I just described is a phase of trying to do outreach ministry that changes perhaps situations and challenges in our community that can help us not be led to other kinds of situations. Does that make sense? I find that to be one of the most exciting things that we're about here at St. Paul's. What a difference we can make if we go forth like this. What a difference we can make in the ministries that we do together. How can we grow from this to this as individuals and make an impact? Some folks at St. Paul's are at this. But no matter where we are, we're on that growing path. There's no right or wrong. There's no one's better than the other. They just are what they are. But as followers of Christ, how can we grow in that? I think many of us are probably in the midst of this. In our lives, perhaps wanting to do more, not sure how to do more, but trying to figure that out. What a difference we can make. Here at St. Paul's, our vestry is beginning to put together our budget, and we've had a lot of askings and things that have come into us, and the vestry is really looking at, in order to kind of respond to the growing of things in our midst of our ministries and what we want to do, our budget needs to increase by $120,000. That's a 10% increase in our budget. Now, last year here at St. Paul's, people who pledged the most money that's ever been pledged in the history of this parish. And and yet we're being called to other things as well. We're being called to continue to grow. And so I invite you to consider that in your kind of thinking, in your ability to make a pledge to St. Paul's. Realize this need to grow in our budget, to continue some of the things we're doing, to support our programs, to support our ministries, both within and beyond, to support our staff, our clergy, the things that we do here at St. Paul's as we go forward. This year, our gift to the diocese has grown to $119,000. $119,000 of St. Paul's operating budget goes to our diocese to do the work beyond us, the work that only a diocese can do, reaching out to other communities in our diocese to be of help, reaching out to the larger world beyond us to do things that we're not even in touch with. That money, that's 10% of our budget, goes beyond ourselves. And that number has grown over the years as St. Paul's has grown. I invite you to reflect and hear the challenge of Jesus. The challenge, it's a challenge that I'm hearing in my own life as well. How can I grow? How can I continue to move in my stewardship? How can I balance these things in my life as well to make a difference? We can make a difference in our world. And invite you to consider looking at the gifts that God has blessed you with and sharing God's blessings. Sharing God's blessings in a way that not only transforms your life, but transforms the world that we're called to touch. The one topic that Jesus spoke the most about was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That was God's dream. That was the dream that Jesus presents to us. The second was money and possessions. And how can we give thanks to God for the blessings we received, find how we can share those blessings, and make a difference in this world? I ask you to continue your support for St. Paul's as we go forth living into that dream and making a difference in people's lives, as well as those of us who gather together weekly. It will be a transformed people.